Well, hello, and thank you for joining us again as we study God's Word together. I wanted to take just a moment to discuss the idea of our vision. As I'm sure you're aware, with the year being 2020, there are a lot of taglines that businesses and congregations and nonprofits and different groups are using about having a 2020 vision. And that's perfectly fine and perfectly reasonable and a good tagline to use. But I wanted to talk about our vision. What are we focused on? Because the reality is we have to have something that we're setting before our eyes. We have to have some item or person or being or model, something that we are looking towards and planning for. We have goals that we set before us that we hope to achieve, and we have our eyes set on finishing and reaching that place. And the question I want to pose in this short talk we're doing is, where is God in our vision? As we look through the Bible, we see vision and eyes and sight coming up time and time again through the Psalms and Proverbs, through the patriarchs, into the New Testament, through Jesus' ministry, and through the early church. There is an importance on eyesight and it being properly focused. And so let me start with reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? There's an importance on what we set before our eyes. And so I want to start by asking the question of, where do we gaze? Gazing is maybe a little more different than what we are focused on with our eyes. At times our eyes wander. We see something that encourages us or enlightens us or distracts us, and it pulls our eyesight away from the task. If you're going down a field, you might see animals out in it as you're driving down beside the field, and so you're distracted by the animals. You might see a beautiful flower or a beautiful person, and your eyes get distracted. Where are we gazing? Where are we looking when our eyes are not focused? Are we gazing upon things that are immoral in nature? You know, one of the phrases used in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, is the lust of the eyes. What is appealing, what is good to the eyes of a worldly nature? Is that where my eyes tend to gaze when they're not focused? Am I letting my eyes continuously look upon things that I should not? Am I letting my eyes wander and focus upon matters that are going to drag down my spiritual well-being, upon matters that are going to take me away from God and His Word? Is that where my eyes are laser pointed when not focused? Is that where I'm gazing? Because what happens is, if we gaze longly at something, it becomes our focus. If we spend too much time distracted by something, we're no longer gazing, we're focused on that. And so what do I set before my eyes? You know, sometimes we think it may be very harmless to let a little issue pop in, a little immorality be okay. And what we're doing is we're becoming desensitized to it. We're humanizing it. We're saying it's okay. It's fine. It's just something small. Where am I letting my eyes wander to? And how is that impacting my faith? How is that impacting my belief? How am I handling that situation? Or rather, am I like the psalmist? In Psalm 119, verse 18, he says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Open my eyes. When my eyes are not focused, let me see your law. We're going to be talking about in this study that our focus should be primarily on God and His Word and being a faithful Christian. But even when we lose our focus, we need to be surrounding ourselves with things of a godly nature. We need to be surrounding ourselves with things that will bring us back to God. We need to be focusing on God. And when our eyes start to wonder and gaze, we need to be seeing the great riches of His wonderful law. Where do we let our eyes wander? Where do we let our eyes spend their free time, if you will? Am I so wrapped up in modern entertainment? Am I so wrapped up in being a modern person that I've allowed my eyes to gloss over at immorality? If I frequently gaze upon things of a sinful and lustful and worldly nature, have I allowed myself to become part of that culture? Have I allowed my body to be impacted because my eyes are not filtering out the light and the dark? That's harmless. I'm not doing it all the time. It's just where my eyes have wandered occasionally. Folks, it's very important where we let our eyes gaze. Let me ask another question. As we look through the Bible, we see different types of eyes. What type are my eyes? How have I fashioned my eyes? How have I trained them? In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 11, there are eyes that are described as the arrogant. Are my eyes considered arrogant? Do my eyes not see when I've done wrong? Do my eyes not see the glory of God and what He's done? You know, we think about arrogant eyes as we look through the New Testament. We will find individuals who are so focused on themselves that they do not see, or so focused on others, excuse me, that they do not see the error inside themselves. Is that what my eyes have become? Am I so arrogant that I do not see where I maybe have fallen? Have I become arrogant that I do not see my need for God and my need for Christ? What did Simon the sorcerer do when he saw the works of the apostles? Here, let me have that power as well. He wasn't seeing the glory of God. Simon was not seeing the power of God being manifested through these works. He rather saw power. Let me obtain it. Let me have it. Missing the point of the gift completely. Have my eyes become similar to his? Have my eyes become something that is clouded by false judgment? Have I allowed my eyes to fool myself? You know, there's illusions of the eyes all the time. We find them online. We see them in public where the image appears to be one thing and in reality is something completely different. May we never be caught with an illusion of our own self, where I see myself as someone great, when in reality, I've wandered far away. How do I describe my eyes? Jeremiah chapter 5, and in verse 21, talks about eyes that do not see. You know, Christ quotes that in talking about there were people that having ears but not hearing, having eyes but not seeing. There were many in the time of Christ who should have been looking for the Messiah. There were oh so many prophecies about this Messiah who would come. And when Christ Jesus came, he was fulfilling them. And that's one of the points of the book of Matthew, where Matthew points out time and time again, fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, proving that Christ is the Messiah. And on occasions in the book of Matthew, something that's always struck me is Matthew makes a point of showing Gentiles who recognize Christ, who recognize his power, who recognize his role. Christ said, "No greater faith have I found in all of Israel," to a Gentile. Christ marveled at the faith of a Gentile. Ones who were outside of God's family under the old law were watching and waiting for the Savior because they knew of the prophecies that talked about many would come from the east and the west and recline at the table of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. They knew of the prophecies of where there was once division and there would be unity later. They were watching for that and they recognized Christ as the Messiah. But then you have the Jews who were seeking the Messiah, who should have been looking for him, and he was standing right there, working miracles among them, and they said his power was of a demon, was of the devil. You had men and women denying the power of Christ. Even when Christ died, they approached the rulers because lest this deceiver deceive us again and his disciples steal away his body. They saw the Messiah with their very eyes, but did not understand. You see, we can see things all day long and not recognize and understand them a bit. Are my eyes those that do not see? I'm merely glancing upon it, but I do not believe it or understand it. Because there are many who read the Bible and can see what God has said and do not respond. There are many who read the Bible and see it laid out how God has planned this world and his kingdom. And they'll even make statements such as, "Well, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means." Are we letting our eyes glance over the will of God? Are we letting our eyes hide the truth and the treasures and riches of God and his grace? Are we allowing our eyes to trick us into saying something's not there, when in reality, all the answers are there in the Bible? What about our eyes? Are they ones that have made a covenant, like Job talks about in Job 31 and verse 1, "I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not lust after a young woman or gaze upon a young woman or gaze upon a virgin," depending on your translation. Have we made a covenant with our eyes that I will not look at things of immorality, that I will not look at things of a perverted nature, that I will not look upon something I have no business viewing? Have we made a covenant with our eyes to protect them and shield them from immorality? Have I made a covenant with my eyes that I will gaze solely upon that which is right with God? Or have I allowed my eyes to view wickedness? Have I allowed my eyes to view sin, to view it, to understand it, and to maybe even reason it? Have I allowed my eyes to break a covenant with God? How am I handling my vision? How am I protecting my eyes? Where do we turn our eyes then in times of trouble? Where do we look to? Do we look upon a foreign substance? There are so many in our society today that when troubles come, they turn to some foreign entity, such as alcohol or drugs. And they become so wasted away with it that it numbs the pain. It numbs the heartache. But only for a little time. And then there it is again. When I'm having a rough time, where am I turning my eyes? Where am I looking? Am I seeking God? Am I seeking His will? Am I seeking His word? Or am I seeking man's answers? I want to read Psalm 121, one of my favorite songs. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Where do I lift my eyes? I lift them to God. God is my refuge. God is my rock. He is my strength. He is my deliverer. In times of trouble, I turn my eyes upon Him. In times of grief, I turn my eyes upon Him. And He will help me through. If I turn my eyes to something else, it will only last for a little while. If I turn my eyes upon something of this earth, I have turned it to something that is temporary. And what is temporary only assists for a little time, only helps for a short while. Where do I turn my eyes? And now let's get down to the real question. Where do I focus them? Where do I gaze intently upon? Where is my drive and determination set? You know, if at the beginning of the year I set goals that I want to interact with this many clients, I want to have this much in revenue if I own a business, or I want to have this percentile in my ratings, or maybe it's that I want to lose this number of pounds. Or maybe it's that I want to interact with this many people. Or I want to travel to this many places. I quantify it in some way. And that's what I set my mind and my eyes to. I'm looking at my goal and how far am I from the finish line. Can I see it or am I still a far way off? In the same sense, where do we focus our eyes day to day? Are we focused on the worry and the trouble of today? Are we focused on what may be coming a week down the road? Because the reality is, I need to be focused long term. I need to be viewing that finish line down at the very end of the road. Even though for me that may be a long way off, that's where my focus must be. Because if I'm not concerned with where my end will be, I will stumble and falter along the way. If I'm not focused at where my end will be, I will be distracted and not reach it. I need to be focused on what my plan is. Oh, yeah, sure. Maybe I create little places in between. And well, I'm focused on getting to this point. And then when I get to this point, I'm working on the next point, and then the next point, and then the next point. That allows me to have a plan. But my focus is on getting to the end. Where do I focus my eyes? Am I focused on the little trivial things that 10, 15 years from now, if the good Lord blesses me to still be here, I'll look back on and count them as nothing? The Apostle Paul was a man of great background in the Jewish culture, a leader in his faith, studied at the feet of one of the great teachers, knowledgeable, well known, and he counted all of that as loss. If I'm focused on what's behind me, if I'm focused on the temporary things, my life will not amount to its true purpose. Paul was an educated man. Paul was a brilliant mind. But his goal was best described when, as he was nearing the end of his life, he said, "I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course," and I've got that out of order. "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." Paul saw the finish line. What was behind him was of no importance. What trials he went through on his path were stepping stones along the way. His focus was on his end. His focus was on being with God when this life ended. Be thou my vision, O Lord. Lord, be my vision in times of strength, but also in times of weakness. Lord, be my vision when things are good and when times are bad. Lord, be my vision in times of great joy and in times of distress. But most importantly, be my vision when my life is over, and let me be at home with you. Thank you for joining us today. May God bless you this week. Be safe and stay healthy. And this week, focus on making God your vision. May God bless you. Thank you.